Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
There's a storm that is coming. Everyone is running away. But you hear a different drummer drumming. You waited your whole life for this one day.
Garth Brooks is a country music giant. He pushed country into the mainstream with a rock and roll sound and changed it. Taylor Swift just kept on going. Garth Brooks is still right there and out with a new album. We want to know what's on his mind. This hour on Point, country music legend Garth Brooks. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What's your question in 2016 for the legendary Garth Brooks? When did he grab you? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from Nashville is Garth Brooks, country music superstar, won the Country Music Association's Entertainer of the Year this year for the fifth time. He's America's best-selling solo artist of all time, the first and only artist with seven diamond albums. That's albums selling more than 10 million copies, seven of them more than the Beatles. His new album is Gunslinger. Garth Brooks, welcome to On Point. It's wonderful to have you here.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much.
It's really great to have you. My brother in Dallas is so jealous today. I'm talking with Garth Brooks. He's been your fan from so early on.
Tom, what is your brother's name?
My brother is Todd, and he's right there in Dallas, and I'm sure he is just green with envy right now.
Very sweet. Please tell him I said hey. That's great.
I will for sure. You took a long break. You came back a couple of years ago. You talked with Billboard, and I was fascinated in your conversation with them about what it was like to get your groove back. And you cited this old saying, I guess, of performers, that the fan should live in the moment, the entertainer should live in the moment before, and getting to that moment before, you said, I just couldn't do it. It took a lot. What was that like coming back after such a long break?
I think it's like anything else. You hear people describe sports, these guys that get in the NFL, and the game is so fast, and then it starts to slow down for them. I think it's the same way with touring, especially, we took all that time off to start back again. Just everything just moved so fast, and you always felt like you were a second behind. And when you're a second behind, you lose so many good opportunities to do so many good things, for the sport. And then it started to slow down. You started to catch up, and then you got to that moniker that there is the saying that, the people that come to the concert, those people should live in the moment. That's what that concert's about. The entertainer should be in that moment before setting everything up in your head and just getting the joy out of seeing those things work and kind of getting to take the ride now, with the fan and be entertained yourself. That's a fun place to be in.
And when you say it all slows down, it doesn't, of course, actually, to the audience it doesn't, but it does to the athlete or to you, the performer, because you find yourself so deep in the groove, you can sort of see it in slow motion, what's unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, you can see the veins in the neck of the people. You can see the hand coming up, getting ready to point to you, and you can beat that guy. You can point to him right before he points to you, and then his face lights up, your face lights up. And that's a wonderful thing. I guess athletes, maybe that's the zone for them, for an entertainer. It is just the sweet spot. It makes the night eternal, and it makes the night feel like it's 2 minutes and it's done. So all the good things.
You were an athlete before you were a big-time performer.
I wore the uniform, yes.
Well, what? You were a track star at Oklahoma State, I think. I think you threw javelin, if I'm not incorrect.
That's very sweet. I was a team member of the track and field team at Oklahoma State. I was not a star and had a great time. Instant family when you moved to college. My brother was a high school All-American, and he was a hurdler there. Got me the gig. And kind of rode on his coattails, like I did, all through as you do as a younger brother. And just just really enjoyed my time there in Stillwater. Great time to grow up. No pressure. Just go to school, make your grades, and, you know, get to make that leap from 18 to 21 in college and, you know, solely protected by college and athletics. And it was a great way to learn and grow up.
Did you know at that time, and you came from a musical family, your mom was a performer. I mean, we read about sort of family talent nights that you had. But when did you get the idea that that might be the way that you should go, that that might be your career?
Well, first of all, thank you. It's very sweet that you know about my mother. I'd put her in the top five female vocalists of all time, not just because she's my mom. She was that good.
Colleen McElroy Carroll.
Yeah, very good. Mm. She gave it up for the kids. She had six of them. So this was a good chance to kind of pick up the baton where she left off. I got my degree. I even walked. When I got home, I realized that I was an hour short. My electives were gone, everything, so I had to go back up for a summer semester.
That's hard.
No money. Mm-hmm. None, you know, because I was there on a federal grant anyway that didn't, you know, that the scholarship didn't pay for. So no scholarship, no federal grant left. So I started taking a guitar down to this place called Willie's Saloon. Mm-hmm. And so I could just get my last credit hour and go on into got my degree in journalism under advertising. I guess I was going to sit behind a desk and try and be an advertiser or a marketer. Mm-hmm. And just started playing. And one night turned into two nights, three nights, all cash money, so no taxes. And, you know, as a kid, that's
this pretty, was in bars in Oklahoma at that time?
Yeah, at Stillwater, at Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's a long way from all cash money at the bar to where Garth Brooks went. The latest album is Gunslinger. You call this album the most Garth thing you've recorded since 97. I want to ask you what that means. But here's the first single from the new album. It's Baby, Let's Lay Down and Dance.
I get this feeling that I can't explain. Every time I see your face or hear your name, I just go crazy. Maybe my chance. What would you say to me? Baby, let's lay down and dance.
Baby, let's lay down and dance. Now, Mr. Garth Brooks, that's kind of a sexy notion there for just a chipper old song. Lay down and dance.
Yeah, I've tried to find other ways to explain what that title means, but it's like, you know, it's that advertisement for KY Jelly on the billboard when they say, you know, we can't find another use for it either kind of thing.
Okay. And there we are. You know, you're famous for having taken country off in rock and roll directions, and we can hear some of that right there. But you've also stayed with country. Was there ever any doubt in your mind that country would be your avenue of performance?
Oh, no, man. I grew up on, you know, my dad was Haggard and Jones, but I'm the last of six kids. So we grew up on the classic rock era. So everything from, you know, the early Eagles to Free to you name it, Creedence, all that stuff. Then it went into the 70s, into the guys like Boston, Styx, Kansas, Queen, all these things. And it was Journey, you know, that kind of gets you through your high school years. And then,
so why didn't you just go there, just jump on that bandwagon?
Because my senior year or freshman year in college, I heard a guy named George Strait. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was, but the second I heard him, I said, that's who I want to be. And I have spent every day of my life since then trying to be George Strait.
We know that you toyed with going further into pop and rock and roll land. Did you ever think twice about staying on country all the way through?
Oh, no. This was, you know, ever since you heard George, that's what you wanted to do. And then fell in love with guys like Ricky Skaggs. These are the guys you start to discover on your own. George was the first one. Here comes Ricky. Then Randy Travis changed everyone's world. That's who you wanted to be. And Keith Whitley, you know, came along and solidified all that stuff. So those guys, Chris LeDoux, you know, Chris LeDoux was probably more of a rocker than any of them. And just love the fact that, you know, a world champion cowboy, you know, would turn it up and just rock the house too. So that was fun to see the marriage of both. You know, when people see our show, especially as you get older, they'll tell you of younger artists that are doing things you're doing, and, you know, they'll tell you, oh my gosh, they're doing what, and I stop them. I go, look, we stole everything we know from Chris LeDoux, so I think you just keep passing it on down.
Can you explain What is it about country that drew you in through George Strait and others that has drawn so many others in lately? I mean, we had Beyonce at the Country Music Awards, but lots of pop stars, Lady Gaga, everybody's singing country these days. For you, for others, what is it that gets the hooks in?
I think for me, it's just the realness of it. I love a story I can relate to. I love something that's real life put to music. And, you know, this whole move toward country, I think you could probably compare it to the Bob Dylan, you know, move of just lyric. They're talking to you, and what they're talking to is resonating something, you know, in your body and your soul. And that's what good music should do anyway.
But people do that in the pop world. James Taylor did it for you in a big way when you were young, and Billy Joel and others. But country was the way, the envelope.
Yeah, the thing with James Taylor, though, I'm the same way with the Eagles. All that early James Taylor Eagle stuff, yeah, that could be country music, you know, in the 90s for sure. It sounded just like it. Same way with, you know, I'm lucky enough to be married to Miss Yearwood, and, you know, her influence was Linda Ronstadt, pretty much from that same James Taylor era. Mm-hmm. All that stuff had fiddle steels in it. And so it made sense for all of us at that time that if you were a country fan, there's a good chance that you probably had a lot of James Taylor, a lot of Linda Ronstadt, a lot of early Eagles in your stuff.
Trisha Yearwood, you've been performing with her, a little Christmas music. We'll hear some of that, I think, later on in this hour.
Thank you.
Garth Brooks, is terrific to have you with us. The new album is Gunslinger. And we're going to talk with Garth Brooks about how he sees the work, the fans, the world, the country right now. Country music superstar. You can join us this hour. Were you, are you, part of the Garth Brooks tidal wave of fans? What made him so big for you, for millions? What's the Garth Brooks special thing, the secret sauce? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Behind us here, off of his new album, Gunslinger, Cowboys and Friends, singing about a hard partying life. Cowboys and Friends from the new album. Garth Brooks, please stand by in Nashville, Tennessee. It's great to have you right there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
We'll just have to wait. 'Cause that's how it goes. Cowboys and friends. As soon as it's over, it all starts again. That's the way that it shouldn't be. That's the way that it's been. Yeah, the fun never ends when the party begins. Cowboys and friends. And the white line's getting longer, and the saddle's getting cold. Not much too young to feed this damn old.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Garth Brooks, country music superstar, America's best-selling solo artist of all time. Behind us there, Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old, from 1989. Very first single, self-titled album, Garth Brooks. He's out with Gunslinger now, his latest. And he's with us from Nashville, Tennessee. You can join the conversation this hour. What do you hear when Garth Brooks sings? A cowboy, a rocker, a storyteller, a poet, every man? What's under that big old cowboy hat? Did you miss him when he was lying low in his retirement? Is he the same Garth Brooks now that he's back? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALKS. Garth, lots of callers for you. Let's go to Los Angeles. Chris, you're on with Garth Brooks.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Wow. You asked what Garth's secret sauce is, and I'd love to try and answer that. His first single dropped when I was about 6 years old, and at first, honestly, I just loved the sound. But as I got older, I realized he's been kind of playing my life my whole life. I learned about being somebody's child and how to love somebody, unfortunately how to lose somebody, how to find myself. And when I listen to him talk about Miss Yearwood, I think about, I don't want to settle ever in my life for anybody that loves me any less than he loves her. So really, for me, that's what it comes down to. I know I'm not allowed to ask Garth when he's coming out to Los Angeles. So man, I want to.
Oh, you can ask anything you like.
Man, do I want to.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing, honey?
I don't want to try and get him in trouble. How are you?
I am fantastic. And Chris, it's the last year, the last 20 cities of the world tour. We haven't played Los Angeles yet. You can bet it's going to be this year. Just try to remember that in our time off, we played four cities, all hopefully for good causes. L.A. was one of them for the wildfires. So those last four cities, probably be the last four that we're in. We were in Kansas City, L.A., Oklahoma City for the tornado thing, and then Nashville for the flood relief. So those four cities will probably be toward the end of the tour, and would love, love, love to see you when we're out there.
Chris, I appreciate your call very much. That impact is right there. To understand where you are now, we kind of have to understand that long time off. You took it after your first marriage or broke up around that time and stuck with it for a long time, a dozen more years. What was it about?
Well, we had babies. Sandy and I had three girls, and they needed a dad. And my mom and dad were always there for me, man. Mm-hmm. My dad, you know, worked two jobs, and but every time I looked up in the stands, he was there. And that was whether I was starting, whether I was not starting, whether I sat on the bench all game.
Mm-hmm.
He was always there, and I never knew how he found time to do it. So they set a great example of what a parent should be for a child, and that's what I wanted to be. And I promised Taylor, our oldest, that I'd be out by the time she was six. I missed it by 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
By eight, we retired, went home, raised our babies. And, you know, when Sandy and I decided that our marriage just wasn't going to make it, mm-hmm. I couldn't depend on her to carry my half anymore. So, you know, you had to all of a sudden sit across from three girls that you didn't know and three very young girls that, you know, have a chance to impact this world as they grow up. And, you know, how are you going to fuel that? So you sat with them, and, you know, the tour ended in 98. And 16 years later, the last one went to school, went off to college. Mm-hmm. And the second we got her into college, we decided to tour again. So it was better for me than it was for the girls, I'm sure. I'm the one that got the most out of it. Mm-hmm. And leaving the industry wasn't hard at all to leave for something you love even more. And no offense to music, no offense to the industry, but if you're a parent, there is nothing that is cooler than getting to be a parent.
I will vouch for that. I mean, you could do it in part because you had become such a massive sensation in a relatively short period of time and from a relatively young age. Chris in L.A. spoke about your relationship with Trisha Yearwood. You've got a duet on the new album, Gunslinger, with her. It's called Whiskey to Wine.
Mm.
Can we listen to a little bit?
Oh, please. Here we please, go. Please, please.
Here we go.
Whiskey to wine. It's just not the same high. I miss the fire.
Whiskey to Wine, off the new album. Not the same high. I miss the fire, the burning desire. You're not a kid anymore. But in the song, the lyrics go, you know, missing that high fire of youthful desire, I guess. Is it a come to terms song, Garth Brooks?
No, it's just two people that were madly in love with each other. We think about Wynette and Jones. You think about guys like, in our world, James Taylor, Carly Simon, you know, all these artists that were couples. And this was just me and Miss Yearwood thinking, okay, you know, we love hard, we fight hard. If we ever got divorced, the first time we'd see each other again after that, what would be the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this was. It's like, you know, yeah, she's nice, and she says, yeah, he treats me well, but after you, it's like going from whiskey to wine.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think you get I don't think you get countryer than that. I love it.
What was it like for you as a young man to go to such superstardom so quickly?
Well, that's probably somebody else's answer to call.
But you lived it. Sure. I mean, from the inside, just how did that feel? Did you understand what was happening? Did you know that you had sort of found the... you were riding this Bronco very beautifully for a long time. It took you away from your daughters for a while there, of course. But, man, that was incredible. I mean, that was just a rocket ride.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was a lot of fun. And I don't think there's anybody that finds success... like that wouldn't go back and hopefully handle some things better just in your youth. Mm-hmm. Things you want. But the truth is, if I had to change something, I'd be scared to death. I wouldn't be sitting where I am today. So I wouldn't change a thing. But yeah, there are things that you know, there were people you wished you would have thanked from the podium. There are choices that, you know, if you had just been a little more tolerant or a little more patient at that point, they would have blown over. You could have got that. But instead, you went to war as a young man. Those things, you know, you think about and wonder if you made the right choices. But again, no regrets whatsoever.
David in Denver, Colorado, you're on with Garth Brooks.
Hi, Tom. Hey, I was in Dallas from 88 to 2000, and the two things that defined that time period was Nolan Ryan and Garth Brooks.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Good. And, you know, the Thunder Rolls is what pulled me in the early 90s. But, you know, Tom, you were going to talk about how Garth sees the world today and in our current environment. And I was curious on, in the 90s, he performed a song that was entitled We Shall Be Free that touches on what are now a lot of hot-button subjects, including global warming, marriage choice. And I'm wondering, when he was in Denver, Garth, you didn't perform that song, but I was wondering, what do you think about that song now? Because there were a lot of very famous people in the video, actors, singers, who really helped you out with that. And I'm curious if what kind of how you see that song today.
We Shall Be Free, off the 1992 album The Chase, very political, and even some country music stations would not even play it. A lot of relevance perhaps right now, but you don't perform it, I guess? Or how do you see it, Garth?
No. David, I'm sure you were, if Denver, if I remember right, it's probably one of nine shows. So what we did was we have a song called People Loving People. And sometimes as you get older in your career, the show will come up and you'll choose one between the other. So probably one of those nights we did We Shall Be Free instead of People Loving People, and one of those nights we did People Loving People instead of We Shall Be Free. Same way with More Than a Memory and Shameless. They kind of have the same kind of production elements in the live show, so you pick one or the other. Or people bring their signs, and probably somebody brought a sign for We Shall Be Free one night, and we played it. A message that what I love is it is more true every day that passes. We Shall Be Free is one of those songs that we go to as a nation when things are a little bit troublesome. I heard We Shall Be Free a ton, during the World Trade Center's catastrophe, and in times when our country kind of pulls songs out. I'm lucky enough that we have one in there, and I'm lucky enough that it is We Shall Be Free.
Let's listen to it and talk about it a little bit. The lyrics seem right now, they can seem out of step with some of the very hard politics out there. It says, when we're free to love anyone we choose. I mean, it's widely popular, but I don't know if that's the winning political message just now. When this world's big enough for all different views. Same. When we can all worship from our own kind of pew, then we shall be free. But let's let Garth Brooks sing it. We Shall Be Free.
When we're free to love anyone we choose, when this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship from our own kind of pew, then we shall be free, yeah. We shall be free. We shall be free. Have a little faith, hold out, 'cause we shall be free.
We Shall Be Free, 1992. Is that song out of step? I mean, then it had some pushback, and you felt it. Now, it's not exactly the Donald Trump line. What's going on here, Garth?
You know what? It's just, I think the main thing in this business, or this entertainment business as an artist, is you just have to be yourself. That's it. So what you believe in, speak of it. And people will leave you along the wayside, or they will sing your message with you. Either way, you get to be yourself. So everyone that knows me, everyone that comes to the shows knows that We Shall Be Free probably is right down the center for me.
I don't know if you're willing to do it as a country music performer and star, but what about our politics now? You've talked about tolerance being important to you. There have been some very intolerant voices raised during this tough political season. What do you see going on in this country right now politically?
Well, I see separation, of course. And it's right down the middle. That's a crazy thing. And but it's been that way, you know, for a few elections. I think one of the reasons, and you try to remember, man, this is a guy that sings country music for a living, not a poli science
guy. We hear it. But you pay a lot of attention to human beings and how they get along.
I got to tell you, man, one of the things I wish that we would take a look at is on the next campaign, if there could be some kind of law or some kind of understanding, some kind of agreement or understanding, mm-hmm. where the campaign about your candidate is about your candidate only. You can only speak of your candidate. So instead of why not to vote for the other one, why should I vote for this one? I think the mudslinging, what happens is it divides a country. And then no matter who wins, half the country's not happy with whoever's in there. That's not how it should be. I would suggest we focus on the strong points of each candidate. So when one candidate does go in, we can go, well, at least they're good at this or this because we know this because of the campaign. So I'd love to see a little less, a lot less about the other guy and more about why I should vote for one instead of not vote for the other. Fair enough?
Well, I know you've got good breath control as a singer, but I wouldn't try to hold my breath for that.
Amen. But you got to have faith, man.
No,
you gotta have
faith in the system. I wish. It's a beautiful,
you
it's a beautiful
have faith
notion.
In the
it's a beautiful notion. We're talking with Garth Brooks. Listener here in Oklahoma says, going to Oklahoma State, growing up in Oklahoma, hearing We Shall Be Free for the first time opened my eyes to understanding others in a way that church never could even. Very progressive and beautiful song for its time. Garth Brooks is with us
very
from
sweet.
Nashville. His new book, album is Gunslinger. Jessica in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Jessica, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Garth.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I purchased a Discman, or I guess my parents gave me a Discman, in 1990. And the very first CD that I bought to play on that Discman was No Fences by Garth Brooks. And just an indication of how much of a huge fan I always was of his. And
what an antique, Jessica. A CD that you'd have spinning on your hip. Sounds like a buggy's time, buggy and whip.
I know. I think my kids might say, what's a CD? But I tell you what, it was a fantastic CD to listen to on that Discman. And I got to see Garth a few times in concert. And I grew up in South Louisiana. And my cousin Katie and I got to go to the concert that Garth had, or one of the concerts that he had in Baton Rouge. And boy, when he played Calling Baton Rouge, that place went crazy. It was electric.
Yeah, I love those memories.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I tell you what, we Cajuns know how to party, and when you sang that song, we were so excited.
love your call, Jessica. Here's another one off No Fences that's been played at just a few parties, Friends in Low Places.
And I toasted you and said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain, 'cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey
Friends in Low Places, 1990, No Fences, and it's still played all over. I have to say, at my first son's wedding, that was the dance, climax of the night. People just going crazy to that song, and what a great moment it was. I mean, you get in the middle of people's most intimate moments in life when you sing, Garth.
Well, I got to tell you, man, it's the sweetest thing you can hear is someone say, hey, man, this guy's the soundtrack of my life. That's because I know the guys that are that for me mean the world to me. So that's the sweetest thing you can hear.
When you're writing, do you try to write toward that, or is that even possible?
No, I just think you just kind of do what you do. And I think if you have any kind of scheme or any kind of thing, it never comes to fruition. You can't push a rope. So you just play and you know, you're lucky for every day you get to do this. And the second that it doesn't do it for you anymore, or you don't do it for them anymore, then all the money in the world ain't going to buy you another day. So you just be yourself, have fun, and really just put the music first. Try that, and hopefully things will work out.
Garth, stand by there just a minute in Nashville. Lots of callers for you, lots of music we want to hear. The new album is Gunslinger. This is The Thunder Rolls. Our caller from Denver mentioned it from 1990, No Fences. Listeners, you can join us. What's your question for Garth Brooks? What is country music now? Is it a sound? An attitude? A politics? I'm Tom Ashbrook with Garth Brooks. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
And he knows that she knows. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. The thunder rolls. And the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. Garth Brooks is with us. Just as big as a performer comes, best-selling American artist, performing artist of all time, with us from Nashville today. His new album is Gunslinger, right here from Man Against Machine. It was his first album after he came back from a long 13-year or so retirement. Snuck out of it a little bit, but yeah, 13 or more years off the big performance track, Raising Kids. This was Man Against Machine there. He's with us from Nashville, and you can join us. What's your question for Garth Brooks? What's your question about Miss Yearwood, about fame and family and staying sane in the middle of all that? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Aubrey in Columbia, South Carolina. You're on with Garth Brooks.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hello, Aubrey.
I was just going to say, Garth has just completely transcended all genres of music. He's transcended country music. He's bigger than rock music. I just want to say, like, he feels like home to me. And I'm just wondering how he feels about feeling like home to so many people.
Wow. Yeah, just what I think, it can't get better. What do you pick? You pick the word. I mean, it's the word we all want to hear. Very sweet. excuse me. Sorry. That got me.
What do you think of that transcending country music idea? Is that true?
Well, here's the thing, man. There are crossover acts, and I never thought we were, because a crossover act goes from one format to another.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what we did was we stayed in our format, and the listener came to country music. That was the only place you could find us. And I'd be fine if that's the only place you can ever find us, because I believe my job as an artist is to work hand-in-hand with country radio, who are your brother in arms, and bring more people into the country radio format. So very, very proud to think of that you can reach across formats without leaving the format that you're in. I think that's my goal, and I'm speaking totally just for me as an artist solely.
How do we hear those early influences in your music? You talk about James Taylor, you talk about Dan Fogelberg. Mm. That took me back. About Billy Joel, for that matter. And you've got a few songs where it sound just right, almost right out of his songbook. Do those play in the back of your mind when you're arranging?
Yeah, sure they do, because then, you know, that's what you're kind of born with. And then there's the learned ones that you do, too. So let's take guys like Jason Aldean, one of the newer country acts, Keith Urban. Mm-hmm. Those things all kind of filter in. And then you think about the newer pop acts that's going to be new to me coming out of the 70s or 80s. Talk about Lady Gaga. Talk about Katy Perry, Bruno Mars, Justin Timberlake. All these people are very influential on your music as well. Because I think what people don't understand about artists is artists are fans of the music first.
So music is always influencing and always changing. And as a fan, that affects you. And as it affects you as a human being, if you're an artist, it's going to affect your music.
Lucas in Kansas City. Lucas, you're on with Garth Brooks.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And hi, Garth. I have
two Lucas.
Thank yous for you. Number one, you helped me make a dream of my of the love of my life come true in Vegas. When you saw our sign from the stage that said, "Let us tell you about our Taylor." We have a baby girl named Taylor who is in a wheelchair, and you saw the sign and talked to us backstage, and thank you so much for helping me make that dream come true.
Very sweet.
Thank you also just for your music, because my Taylor and my son, sorry, I'm a little emotional, but
that's okay, Lucas.
I love them, but they love your music, and we dance to it in the house, and we jam to it in the car. We watch the DVD in the car from Vegas. I mean, our house is always rocking Garth. And my kid's dream now is to be able to, my wife has a picture of you hugging her on her desk at work. It actually replaced our wedding photo. Thanks for that.
Watch out, Lucas.
My daughter, her dream is to hug you now too, because she loves you and loves your music and loves your wife. She watches her show, but just thank you for being a big part of our household.
Well, thank you, man, and just all the love to your family, and here's to forever. I hope your holidays are the best ever, man, because the greatest gift you can get at the holidays is just be with your family, be with the people you love.
Comes right back. Wow, you put it out there. And, Lucas, thank you very much for your call. wow, it just circles right back. Jack in Merrickville in Ontario, Canada. Jack, you're on with Garth.
Hey, Tom. Hello.
Hi.
And hello,
how you doing, Jack?
Garth. I have a sort of a Garth Brooks story that's going to go off at about 180 degrees from some of the ones.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm about 70 years old. I've been a dedicated amateur musician all my life. I started on stage when I was 1963, and my music taste is eclectic, and my instruments are eclectic: saxophone, flute, guitar. I made my own lap steel guitar. And my musical tastes are just eclectic. Mostly I work as a sideman. Musical slut. Put the money in my hand, tell me what key we're in, and I'll play it. I don't care.
It's a technical term, I think. Okay.
Yeah. But back in the 90s, I thought I'd try my hand at doing a solo gig. First time ever as a solo. And I did a local patio gig. And at the end of my first set, and the music was eclectic. Like, I had some Hank Williams, I had some Neil Young, I had some Little Feet, you know. It's just, and at the end of the first set, this woman came up to me, and she had the tag end of her beer in her hand, and she was half in the bag. And she said, "Can you do some Garth Brooks?" And I said, "You know, I know some Garth Brooks songs, sort of, but not well enough to do them justice, you know. Like, on my alto sax, I do the dance. I give it the full Dave Koz treatment, you know, but I really can't do him justice."
Okay.
And she said, "You know, like Garth Brooks, you know, Garth and God both begin with a G. Doesn't that mean anything to you?" And I just sort of laughed. I turned around to put my guitar back on the stand. She drained her beer and took that mug of beer, and she cold cocked me. She nailed me at the base of my skull, right below my left ear.
Oh, it's not all sugar and spice.
I'm down on my knees, holding on to the guitar stand, trying to stay at least a little bit upright. Her boyfriend grabbed her by the waist and went running out the back gate of the patio.
Good idea.
She was shouting, "He doesn't like Garth Brooks."
You're lucky you got out of there alive, Jack. Cold cock, not so bad, maybe.
Yeah, brother.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Jack has met some of my family members. I like it.
Yeah. The wild and woolly end of it right there. Jack, we're glad you lived to tell the tale. Cold cock for Garth Brooks, starts with G, just like God. You played the dance on your saxophone. Here it is off his 1989 Garth Brooks first album. Calls it his, maybe his favorite song.
And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
Callers lined up around the block for you, Garth Brooks. Daryl in Franklin, Virginia, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to say to Garth, on behalf of myself and several other soldiers, you were a key player in getting us through some dark moments in the first Gulf War, and I just wanted you to know that, and thank you for speaking to our lives, soldiers past and soldiers present, as I'm still active duty, so I just want to say thanks.
That's very sweet, man. Thank you for your service, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for my baby's sleep and the fact that they can dream and it can come true. Can't thank you enough, man. I can't tell you how many shoeboxes I got from the first Gulf War with that first cassette, the original Garth Brooks cassette or the No Fences cassette, and there'd always be sand in the box. And just thank yous from soldiers, and you can't believe. That's probably the coolest thing, is when someone you think you should be saying thank you to over and over takes the time to say thank you for doing just getting to kind of live your dream out. That's very sweet.
Daryl, take us there to some setting where you might have been in that war listening to Garth Brooks.
It was really interesting. We would actually get up in the morning and fix our coffee over a heater, and we'd all sing Friends in Low Places, which would make an exciting time for us because it was a pretty low place. So
yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell Garth, you got a special place in our hearts. So thanks, buddy.
Well, thank you, brother. Love to you and your family. And thank you for, again, man, thank you for my children's lives, my lives. I can't thank you enough for our children's future because of the sacrifice you guys are making. All my love to you. And thanks for serving, but get out of there as quick as you can. Get back to your families.
Daryl, thank you for calling. You've got a Christmas album out as well right now with Trisha Yearwood, Christmas Together. And I've got a track off that, which has James Taylor on it with you all.
Yes.
It's called What I'm Thankful For off Christmas Together. Brand new. Here we go.
Those that came before my turn, oh, from whom I've gathered lessons learned, that light the path that lies ahead. I see them as I bow my head. Yes, I'm thankful for the Lord above, the gift of His unending love, the promise kept that there is something more. These are the things I'm thankful for.
And with a little waiting there, before that track is over, James Taylor comes right in. Had you ever sung with him before, Garth?
Got to sing with him on VH1 Honors. That's how I met him. VH1 did this program in the early 90s where they would pair an artist with his or her hero. And James Taylor was mine. So James didn't get paired with his hero, but I did. And he sang The River, which was originally written for James. And just talk about... You know, they tell you be leery about meeting your heroes because you'll be disappointed. Well, this is one of those times where you meet your hero and you come out thinking even more of him every time I see him than I did before. You know, you got to hug him and see his face.
We hear his harmony right behind you.
Yeah.
Right there. Leah in Boston.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Leah, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Garth.
Hi.
Hey, Miss Leah.
So I have a really big thank you for you, Garth. A couple years ago, you came to Harvard to the Ask With Forum. You and Trisha asked to talk about, your career and kind of how you got started. And you mentioned that you get stage fright, which at the time was something that I really struggled with. And so I stood up and asked you a question about how you overcame your stage fright, and you invited
Miss Leah. You are the young lady that came and played, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh. How are you doing?
I'm great. I have a band, and we gig all the time. And I'm writing a ton. I'm Good actually, you know, saving up to go into the studio to record a full length album, hopefully sometime in the early year. So I'm
beautiful.
I'm doing really, really well.
So what was the advice, Leah? How to get over stage fright? The Garth Brooks advice.
Oh, I can tell you that one.
His advice was baptism through fire.
That's it, right? There's the phrase.
That's right.
Give us that phrase again.
And
baptism through fire.
Baptism through fire. Oh, boy.
If you want to get over your fears, strap the guitar on, stand in front of people, and sing. So I believe, Miss Leah, that I told you or asked you, come on up. She put my guitar on, and she sang a song for those people that had never heard her before.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes things like that backfire because she was so good. It was like, how do you follow it now? And but that was – your face was priceless, and I cried the whole time.
Wow. That's the way to do it.
I play your guitar at every gig I have, and it's great. Sounds great.
Baptism through fire, right there on the stage at Harvard, no less. Pretty great. Leah, congratulations for making that. One more here. Cherish is calling from Buffalo, New York. Cherish, our time is short, but you're on.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Garth.
Hi, Miss Cherish.
I saw Garth perform twice in Buffalo on a Thursday and a Sunday. When I was right up close, you know, could see the sweat coming off of your brow. You perform like nobody else with such energy. And then the other time I was up in the rafters. That's what I could afford a second time, but it was worth it. And I'm a concert junkie. I see, you know, Zach Brown, Carrie Underwood. Drake White is an up-and-coming one that when you say it, you're true to yourself, he's like that too, and that's so important. But how do you exude that authenticity all the way to those upper rafters? Because you do it like nobody else.
Very sweet. My first two concerts I ever were lucky enough to go to. I was second to the last row in the back and probably about seventh or eighth in the last row in the back in the next one. That's how I viewed my first two shows. And I thought, man, if I ever get to do this, there's got to be some way to reach up here. And it was great, man. And you just watch your heroes. They talk to people all around the arena. And I just I love getting to perform because it's like – it's, you know, our tickets are luck of the draw. None of them are priced more if they're closer to the stage. They're all the same price. So just enjoy everybody being a family, getting together and play music. Very sweet. Thank you, Miss Cherish.
Thank you, Cherish. Thank you for calling from Buffalo. Garth, this has been wonderful. Great to get to know you on the air. Great to hear a little bit off the new album, Gunslinger. Where are you going to be for Christmas, Garth?
I'm going to be with Miss Yearwood, wherever that is, and we will find our babies. And what we found as a divorced parent is a holiday is not actually a date on a calendar. It's whenever you can get together. So whenever we'll do that, it'll be Christmas for us.
A lot of people know the truth of that. Listen, thanks a lot for being with us this hour. Really appreciate it. A lot of fun.
I've enjoyed it. You were fantastic. Look forward to a second chance to do it again.
We'll do it again. Garth Brooks.
To you and your family, happy holidays.
Same to yours. The new album is Gunslinger, and with Trisha Yearwood, Christmas Together. Right here from Man Against Machine 2014, he spoke of it earlier, people loving people. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Kings and queens and those behind the curtain say one can't make a difference in a world so full of hurt. But I believe the remedy starts right here with you and me, people loving people. That's the enemy of everything it's evil. Ain't no quick fix at the end of the needle. It's just people loving people. It's just people.